This is Nikki Bruno with the Epic Comeback Podcast, where warrior women who have gone through absolute caca give you advice on getting to the other side of yours. Today is a special day for me. I'm so, so honored to have with me Amy O'Neill. Amy, thank you so much for joining me today and welcome.
And thank you for having me. I feel honored.
It is so my pleasure. So Amy, I'm going to give you the mic and ask you to introduce yourself. Please let us know who you are, where you're from, and what keeps you busy during the day.
Sure. My name is Amy O'Neill. Like you said, I live right outside suburban Philadelphia. And during the day, I am a therapist. I have a small private practice, and I also do a lot of consultant work, public speaking, and contract work on the side in the mass violence community sector.
That's great. And I am excited to ask you more about that. So Amy, as you know, this is a podcast by and for women who have gone through really, really difficult stuff. And I know that you're no exception. Would you please summarize what you went through and what was the worst part of it?
Sure. I was a runner in the 2013 Boston Marathon. As a lifelong athlete and runner, it was one of my dreams, absolute dreams, to get to the Boston Marathon, as anybody from the area knows. And I was right in front of the forum at the time of the second explosion. So direct in line with that second explosion. And as you can imagine, in a moment in time, your entire world changes forever. So I had some minor physical injuries. I did have a shrapnel surgery removal and sound concussion, some temporary hearing dysfunction and chip my teeth, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So although very fortunate, you know, definitely it could have been worse, as we know.
Could have been worse, also could have been a whole heck of a lot better. And I wanted to follow up on what you said about your life, imagining how life would change in a second. And I have to say, I've had some tough things happen to me, but I don't know that I could imagine exactly how that would mean that my life has changed. So for you, Amy, what are a couple of the ways that your life changed so immediately?
So immediately there's a complete loss of safety. I mean, the way that you feel and move through the world just changes. And I talk about trauma in terms of it being an annihilation of this sort, where it just, it penetrates and literally breaks apart, I think, the way that you're used to seeing yourself in the world. I mean, it can and it does often create like a complete sort of existential crisis. Who am I? Why am I? How do I fit in? The way that you cope and the way that you react can present challenges as well. For me, it was a very private, lonely pain. I was somebody who considered myself one of the strongest people I know. So to house that all inside and the way that it wreaks havoc on you is just a very lonely, tough experience.
I can only imagine. And I think there's something about trauma. There's like this dichotomy, because trauma is something that humanity, human beings share. It's something that we all go through on some level. And yet when you're going through trauma, I think it is so, so common to feel completely isolated in that trauma, even though there are other people around you who may be going through something very similar.
Yeah, I spoke at a forum and they asked me what would be one word to describe my experience. And I said lonely. There's a real aloneness about an experience that you're going through that nobody else understands. And you're trying to make sense of it, right? So trauma is the lack of a story to understand what's happening or why it happened. Mm-hmm. So to have the lack of that, the language to articulate what's happening to you and why you're angry, why you're down in the dumps, why you're closing off and closing down, why you're acting out, whatever it is that's going on with you. And it's hard to have a logic and a story and a narrative to explain what's going on. And I think the aloneness comes from feeling like people aren't going to understand, because they don't. not because they don't want to, but because they can't. There's certain things that I think unless somebody's literally stood in your shoes, it's just, it's too big of an ask for them to get it.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. So what I'm wondering now, Amy, is, so it's been a few years since this happened, and in my opinion, it takes some real, real major strength and warrior energy to get to the other side of something that has been extremely traumatic. What is the best thing for you about being where you are? Whether you consider yourself being really truly on the other side of the trauma, if there is such a thing, but what's the best thing about being in this place right now for you?
I love how you put that. I do think that there's another side. I actually think there's like a line. I think there's a moment in time where you cross from life before fully into life after. Okay. And how you get there, I think, depends on the journey that you take. For me, even as a therapist, it was really hard to say, I need to go to therapy. So getting, you know, going... you know, break down the stigma. I love therapy. Go to therapy. Therapy is amazing. Yeah. But, you know, I think that was a big way for me to get to the other side. But I do think that there's a transformation that happens. I talk about trauma as an annihilation that ends up in a transformation. You literally change. You change at the core. You with many different kinds of trauma, you change at the core. Cancer diagnosis, facing an addiction, there's things about you that change forever. And I think getting to the other side involves becoming into partnership with the fact that you are going through a transformation and working with it instead of trying to resist and work against it to get back to who you used to be or who you think you should be.
I am so with you on that. And in my framework of staging an epic comeback after trauma, what I believe is that many of us who've gone through trauma, it's as if we try to deny it ever happened and try to go back to, oh, well, I'm going to go back to the vintage me. I'm going to go back to that person I was before the trauma, and I'm just going to kind of bypass it in some way. And I think, first of all, that's really, truly emotionally impossible. And second of all, I believe that actually by I believe that we can mine the trauma that we went through in order to find out what did we learn, how did we become wiser, not only in going through what we went through, but in coming out of what we went through. And that's where so much of kind of the opportunity lies in trauma.
Right. So making meaning and finding connection. So making meaning of that experience, what does it mean to me? How did it impact me? How am I different? How have I transformed? You know, there is a mourning that I believe goes with the loss of how you used to see yourself or how you used to move through the world. And I think it's renegotiating those boundaries of how do I coexist with an experience that has changed the way I am or that I see myself or that I see the world, but also be able to function into the world or reemerge into the world in a new way where you're a different version of yourself, but you sort of reemerge into life transformed. It's transformation. But connection and meaning, I think, are so important, making meaning of the story. And then that is what you use on the other side. The clarity comes with the acceptance. So you sort of come into this place where you're like, okay, so for me, part of the meaning is having been a mental health professional for 25 years before this happened, and then this happening, I feel like I have a really new clarity and understanding on what it means to go through, you know, same reason why you're doing this podcast, what it means to go through this, and this ability to translate these experiences that are hard to articulate for people to help give them the language to move through their experiences. And that's part of what I'm doing on the other side.
That's so incredible. And it's also a theme that's coming up on this podcast of going through that transformative process that you're talking about and getting to that other side. And part of being on that other side is kind of turning around and extending a hand to others and helping them on their path. And with that in mind, I would love to know from you, Amy, based on where you are now, and also based on your belief that there is another side, that there really is truly that kind of line of demarcation. I can imagine women right now listening to this who are going through trauma, who are in crisis right now, wanting to know, how do I get to that place? How do I do that? How do I gain the context? How do I gain the language to describe what I've went through, what I've gone through? How do I get to that place? So what piece of advice or pieces of advice would you offer to women who are going through the caca, the depth right now?
Mm-hmm. I think connection is really important. I spent a lot of time hiding in the shadows, not stepping out into owning what my experience was, because I was judging myself against other people's experiences. They had it worse. You know, do I have a right to feel the way that I do? Or I did it to myself because I was there, or I could have done this different, and why didn't I? And, you know, on and on and on. And I think we all have those. So connecting with other people, in my case, it was other survivors who have gone through things, helped give me some pieces to that narrative, that story that I'm putting together, right? And it also gives you the acknowledgement and the validation that you need to be acknowledged that this is something awful. And of course, you don't know how to do it. You've never done it before. And to get that support, the compassion from other people allowed me to develop some self-compassion for myself. Mm-hmm. And to be kinder to myself and to be trusting that it's a process and I'm going to keep moving along. One of the other valuable lessons I learned was that you can really be in two places at one time, meaning, you know, you're struggling and you're suffering and this is hard, but I'm allowed to keep living and I'm allowed to have joyful days and I'm allowed to celebrate something good that happened. And it doesn't mean that you're over it. I also think your mindset of the fact that you're going through something and not getting over something is really impactful for me. You're going through something. It's a process of signing up for a journey. So I need to be engaged in it. And if I think that I'm just supposed to get over something, I feel like I'm failing because I'm not over it, or that does bother me, or I duck at that loud noise, or whatever it is. So trusting the process. And I'm just going to say again, like, the stigma of asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Get it.
Get over it.
Get over it. Get the help. I kid my psychologist, I still see, it's been almost 7 years and I'm still seeing her like once a month or twice a month. And I say, you know, it like, I'm going to need you forever. Like, you're my person now. So she's really a partner for me in this journey, and that relationship being just so solid and not emotionally invested in my life like a family member is. And it's just such an amazing place to go and say whatever it is that I need to say without judgment, which is huge. That compassion, finding it from somewhere else too.
Sure. I wanted to follow up on what you said about reaching out and connecting to other survivors after going through a period of time where you were judging yourself. What was it like to have, what I'm wondering is, was there a big contrast between talking with other survivors and connecting with them when you decided to versus other people's kind of behavior around you in whether or not they were comfortable or uncomfortable about how to address the topic with you? Because I think it's so common when somebody's gone through something really traumatic and we know about it and maybe we even witnessed it, but the people around you also might have a difficult time to find the words to know what the heck to say to you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And a lot of times people around you don't know what to say, or they can't, it's too difficult for them to acknowledge it for whatever their reason is. And it's hard not to personalize that to their lack of interest or desire to understand you. So sometimes their inability to address it, or them looking at you on the outside and being like, oh, you're fine, you must be so much happier now, or you've got to be so lucky you're alive. I actually had somebody say to me last week, oh, you're so lucky you have all your limbs. And I'm like, what? there's like a book, like stuff people should never say, like that's on the list. But so that connection piece, just what I got was validation, acknowledgement. There was some dignity restored to my experience having impact. When I met some parents of some amputees, some more severely injured and bereaved, they were acknowledging me, and that, you know, made survivor guilt fly away. So I think there's a lot of benefit that you get from meeting other survivors. They have the ability to acknowledge you in a way, because the language of survival of whatever your situation is pretty universal. So when they speak to you, you feel like they get it, you get it. It's easier to take and accept and feel and believe and use in your recovery journey.
Yeah. Well, and what I'm wondering too is what you would say to people who don't know what to say. I've had times in my life, they don't tend to happen anymore, but I had times in my life where I didn't know what to say to somebody who was right in front of me, who was telling me about something difficult or absolutely heartbreaking or just total, complete, absolute caca. And sometimes you just have to face that. Sometimes
right.
Something is awful right. And it sucks. And I mean, I think there are, sure, there is a list of things not to say, but I also think that there's always a way to connect. There's always either something to say or something to do. Do you have any kind of recommendation for how somebody might be sensitive in that situation?
Yeah, I think what I've learned about survivors, and I've done some talks on this, and I've even had other people come up, a cancer survivor, somebody who's lost a child, and say that they really related to some of the things that I talk about in my trauma story. And I think what people really look for is acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. People want to be acknowledged. They want to be validated in what their experience is, not in what you think of their experience. So, you know, it's a pretty simple formula. Wow, I heard that this happened, or you told me this story. I'm sure this is really unbelievable for you to be working through. I'm sure this is really hard to wrap your head around. Anything that's validating. I think a lot of times what people say is what makes them feel better, you know, and not what's going to make you feel better. So anything that's validating and acknowledging of somebody's unique experience, and if it's victim-centric, if it's in the spirit of, you know, even if you say the wrong words, but you're acknowledging somebody's experience true to what it is for them, you're not going to go wrong.
That's really helpful. Thank you so much for that. I think that's going to be helpful to folks who are listening. This brings me to my last question, which really kind of has nothing to do with what we've been talking about, sort of, which is, Amy, since we're all about being epic, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I think about this question all the time, and I would love to be a mind reader because I spend so much time just lost in, you know, the thinking about and you know, reading people and the empathy journey and the compassion piece. And man, if I could mind read, if I could look at you and get the information, and then I would know right away how to be there for you. I would love to mind read. I think, right? Most of the time, I'm like, all right, in the way that I want to know stuff, I would love to mind read.
There would be a lot less talking, I imagine, in the course of your day.
Yeah, perhaps. But I'm always curious. I always want to know things. So to be able to know some stuff that, you know, would be pretty epic.
Totally would be. I am so with you. Amy, thank you so much. I'm very grateful to you for joining me today. Where can we find you online and learn about you and your work?
Sure. And thank you for doing this, providing a platform for people to get little takeaway nuggets for their toolboxes, because we all have to be in this journey together, helping each other and pulling each other along. So thank you for providing a platform and having me. AmyCO'Neill.com. I have a website. It talks about what I do. I have a professional Facebook page, Amy C. O'Neill, MSLPC, and I put blog articles and, you know, post inspirational things and stuff about the survivor journey on there, as well as on my LinkedIn.
Awesome. That's great. Amy, thanks again. This is Nikki Bruno with Amy O'Neill on the Epic Comeback Podcast. For more information and ideas on staging an epic comeback in your life after going through a life-shattering experience, please go to theepiccomeback.com.